My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
And I'm Retro Ray, guys.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. It's been a while. Retro Ray just reminded me. But before we get started, we definitely do want to thank all of our awesome supporters out there, especially on Patreon. The top tier Patreon supporters are Hayden Hauser, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Fenrir 526, Maya Morris, and Maka Tautala. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. And tonight, yeah, we're doing a Friday night podcast, which we seldom do, but I was able to be available, and I definitely want to talk Star Wars whenever I can talk Star Wars. And just to give another shout out here, Dragon's Lair. They support the podcast by providing comics, and I think Ray has a bit of news in regards to Dragon Lair and his I don't know if you want to talk about that or
Hopefully in a month from now, hopefully I'll be joining the crew as a part-time employee. I love comics. I love everything to do with comics and comic book art, so I'm going to be coming on to kind of work on their social media kind of thing, and then of course the comic stuff as well. So it's going to be fun. We're going to get more access, of course. We'll be talking later down the line about what we got lined up for Star Wars the podcast. We got a couple of interviews that we already got lined up and squared away, and we're going to announce them tonight too.
So yeah, big shout out to them. If you're ever in the San Antonio area, Dragon's Lair at Alamo Ranch, go check them out. I know you might see the owner, Rose. She's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Support your local comic book shop. And Star Wars is really huge in the comics. There's a lot of new different lines. Yeah. I know we're going to talk about it later. Retro Ray has some exciting news for an interview he's about to do. And Star Wars is big in comics. I can't say it enough. So I know you wanted to talk about what we've been doing in the past couple of
we've been busy.
I'm not quite sure when I've what was the last time I podcasted.
It's been a good while, man. We've been on here. We haven't been on here. Of course, me, I've been laid up, you know, messed up my leg, so I've been kind of out. I'm just kind of getting that more out and about now. Went back to work, kind of like duty, but I'm back out of the house. Getting to socialize with people again. Kind of was getting crazy getting in here, just staying at home.
Yeah, I know how it is. I mean, working from home sometimes, it's like you just don't even speak really. Unless you're on like a phone call or something with a customer. But yeah, it gets kind of weird. And it's like, I need to leave this house. But yeah, the first thing I wanted to talk about, which is interesting news, it's not really big news per se. It's maybe one of those stories that it's kind of like under the covers in a way. But I think it is going to have an impact on our viewing habits, what kind of Star Wars stuff we have playing in the background, because I think that's really, for me personally, where it's really going to feature. It's kind of in the background, and I'll probably just leave it on. So Disney Plus, we all know the streaming service. It's changed a little bit. It has the Hulu tile now. If you subscribe to, if you do the bundle, I believe you get the Hulu tile. And I think there was a beta for a little while, and it still might be happening, but I pay for the whole thing, so I don't think I got to experience that, but you can watch Hulu programming and ESPN Plus. I don't think the ESPN Plus is integrated into Disney Plus, but it is included in the bundle. I don't think you can do Hulu plus Disney Plus only. I think you have to get the ESPN. But it seems like Disney wants to do something that's akin to something like a Pluto TV. Or you just can go to Disney Plus and have channels laid out. And in those channels, you can have like a Pixar channel where they're showing maybe like a Toy Story marathon. That's what I kind of envision, like marathons. And you can have sectioned off times of programming, just like old school cable TV from the 90s. I know there was, if you had cable TV in the 90s, there was one channel, I think for us in Texas, it was all the way at the end where you could have a TV guide and see what was about to play. It's kind of like that. And if you experience Pluto TV, you can see what's about to play and at what time. And on the surface, it's not that world-shaking, but to me, if you have a TV in your office or in, I don't have a TV in my office, but if you have something kind of where you're at and you want to just throw something on, you can easily just turn on Disney Plus and have the channels going. And it's kind of weird, I think, the behavior of people in TV. I don't know about you, Ray, but you spend a lot of time, let's say, like even before Disney Plus, like on a Netflix, where you would go through and you wanted something to watch, but you spent a lot of time looking for something to watch and couldn't decide because the options are so vast now in comparison to what we had when me and you, Ray, were growing up. We didn't have a whole lot of options and we didn't have all the choices you have now. And as an adult, both of us are adults, I think we have that experience where we spend more time looking for stuff as opposed to actually watching something on your streaming service. So Disney Plus is trying to introduce that into just the main aspect, I think, of the streaming service that you can have and just experience. It's something to me that it feels like this should have been incorporated a long time ago.
And well, Amazon Prime's doing it already, though.
Are they?
Yeah. So if you go to live TV for Amazon Prime and you scroll, like they'll have like Warner Brothers cartoons and it'll just play a series of cartoons. Like the other day I was watching Transformers, like they had the old school G1 Transformers, and then they gave you Beast Wars throughout the day because I was locked up for 2 weeks basically. So they had that Knight Rider playing like throughout the whole day, like episodes back to back. They had Modern Marvels, like there was like just channels, like different channels depending on what you like, and it's just everything that's on that same type of either feature. Or they even have a Japanese that has all Super Sentai, Godzilla, you know, all throughout the day and night as well. But I think that's what maybe they're wanting to try to compete with. My wife doesn't like it. So she has Hulu and we have Disney Plus, right? Well, now since it merged, I just was like, well, we're already on Disney Plus. Why am I going to log into the Hulu one? But it doesn't transition over. So like, you know, stuff that you have added in your Hulu stream area, like things that you watch, it hasn't really transferred over to your bundle part. So even if you click a show, it kind of like starts over. So I don't know if it has to recognize what you watch and add to your list again, but that's what I've seen so far. I've been using the new Disney Hulu Plus combo. My wife is still using the Hulu by itself. Which is, to me, I'm like, well, why are you going to use, you already can have everything in one. That's just how I like it, but I don't know. Have you tried it?
Well, I clicked on the Hulu tile in Disney Plus, and it seemed like it was kind of a streamlined version of Hulu. Yeah. So I went into the main Hulu app, and it seemed like I had a lot more options.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing with that. I still think they have that beta phase kind of going.
Oh, but okay.
To me, it would be, it sounds really silly when you see it on the surface, but I think it makes a whole lot of sense for them to have that TV guide and be able to click on something and just have it playing in the background, and it's just never going to stop. Like, say, if they're doing a Star Wars marathon, if you have a Star Wars channel, and they have, or like a subset of what is under the Star Wars section, I mean, you can have Clone Wars, Rebels, the original trilogy, or the Skywalker saga, the sequels running all day. I mean, I think there's people that are just going to leave it on specific channels. And yeah, like I said, I mean, have it in the background. I think that's something that we all kind of want to do. But if you play something inside of the app, it'll just stop and it will go and bleed into the menu and it's over, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something we did in the 90s a lot. We just had the TV on just for kind of background noise.
Yeah. Well, see, this is my opinion. This is what I think they're going to do. Because remember, they're talking about going to commercials. Netflix is going to be doing it. Disney's going to be doing it. Hulu's going to be doing it. Well, Hulu's already doing it. So if they do these channels, this is just my opinion from what I'm assuming that may happen. Because it's happening on Amazon Prime. But they're actually advertising freeform TV, whatever, free on Hulu Plus. I mean, sorry, Amazon Prime. So here, I think if they do that, I think they're going to incorporate commercials in that part of that service. So if they get the commercials integrated to it, then that means they're going to be making money on top of the subscribers. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's essentially why they're going to do it. Why they would institute it, why they would go through the whole trouble of having something like this is to make more money from ads. Because I think that's where streaming is kind of steering to. Like you mentioned Amazon before, Amazon is putting ads on everything unless you pay an extra, I think, $3 a month to get rid of them. My family and I, we don't watch a lot of Amazon, so we're not paying the three extra dollars, which is it's kind of strange. I mean, that's something kind of new, but yeah, it's interesting the way that everything's kind of devolving, so to speak, back to just like what we had with cable. And it seems maybe that was the best kind of paradigm.
Well, it's better though, because you think about it. Cable gave us what at first when we first started back when we were younger. I think if you had a certain cable box, it only went up to what, like 100 channels or 75 channels?
That was way back.
Yeah, and those little boxes, you know what I mean? Before they went to the digital boxes with the remote and stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of the same premise, but the difference is I think this is where I think it's better. So with cable, you had your basic channels, and then you had, if you wanted HBO, if you wanted Disney, of course, your tier went up. Here, it's like Hulu and Disney is pretty much what we like. And this is where the mergers are happening, where you see HBO picking up Discovery, Food Network. So now, if you watch that stuff and you don't want basic cable, well, you can go watch the Food Network and you can watch all that stuff on HBO Plus. I think Disney Plus and Hulu is going to be more catered towards us geeks, because it's going to have everything geek related, from Disney to sci-fi, X-Men, as Fox's stuff gets integrated into, you know, the stuff, there's going to be a more variety of selection of stuff to watch, which even right now they're still they're sharing cross, you know, stuff. So right now we see Spider-Man coming out on Disney, and then we see some of Disney stuff going to Netflix. And so they're still, I think, going to be doing that crossover stuff, so that people who don't have Disney can watch some stuff on Netflix or vice versa. But, you know, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. The whole landscape is still devolving, whatever way you want to look at it. But I just recently saw a story that Sony wants to buy Paramount. And we all know that Paramount has its own streaming channel, Paramount Plus. Yeah. And Sony kind of stayed away from the game for a while, which to me was very, very savvy and shrewd that they did that. And they just let all these big studios kind of duke it out and have to pay for all the servers and storage for them to house everything, and just watch these streaming wars happen while Sony just sat on the sidelines without a streaming service. But if they buy Paramount, they'll have that huge asset of Paramount Plus, and then they could put all their Spider-Man stuff and everything from Columbia on Paramount Plus, which would be interesting. And I think there was rumors that another studio was trying to buy Paramount Plus. I think maybe Warner's was trying to maybe acquire Paramount Plus. That didn't go through, but Paramount Plus is pretty decent though. I use it primarily to watch Champions League soccer and soccer stuff, and maybe the occasional football game when I don't want to watch and use the antenna for my TV. But Yeah, it's incredible the amount of streaming channels we have. And I think Paramount Plus actually does have a setup where you can have that fast channel experience where you can watch a cable-like TV channel as well. I think I saw it the other day when I was trying to catch up on some Champions League stuff. But
no, Paramount's good. I like Paramount because the good thing about Paramount that I like is that you can get your local channels. So like if you watch Ken's Five, you can get your local channel and watch local live TV on Paramount Plus, which was cool because you don't get that with Hulu. So you can't watch like, say, KSAT, of course, for us here in San Antonio, Texas. You can't watch your local channel TVs. You just get it if it airs, unless you have the live package for Hulu. The cool thing about Paramount on top of that is that they also merge to a certain extent with Showtime. So Showtime's also on Paramount Plus. So you can, if you have Showtime, you can go to Showtime and watch stuff on Showtime. So I want to see, once all the smoke clears, what the people are going to actually find, the who's going to have the better packages. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So and there are a few articles online about this, and I think the best one is on Engadget, and I'll read a little bit of it here. So the title is, Disney Plus may add cable-style streaming channels focused on Marvel and Star Wars. Reports suggest Disney sees linear channels as a way to increase the time subscribers spend in the app. Disney is reportedly planning to add linear cable-style streaming channels of Disney Plus, according to the information. The company wants subscribers to spend more time in the app, and by offering more viewing options, it may entice users to stick around. In addition, by running ads on these channels, Disney could boost its bottom line, just like what we discussed and theorized. There are already a bunch of free ad-supported streaming, in parentheses, fast services such as Roku, Pluto TV, which is what I mentioned, and Tubi. Last year, Warner Brothers Discovery brought fast channels featuring its shows and movies to Roku and Tubi. I didn't know they did that. Disney itself has some fast channels inside the ABC.com app, including ones dedicated to General Hospital in 2020. How funny. But none of these are inside a subscription service. So it looks like they have dabbled a little bit in that space. The report suggests that Disney may offer channels based on tentpole franchises such as Star Wars and Marvel, along with other shows, animated movies from Pixar. Many folks have fast channels on as background noise while cleaning and so on, and given the high brand affinity for Disney, this makes sense for the company to explore. Yeah, that's a big thing too. I mean, family households, you don't want to leave a channel on that it's not going to be kid-friendly. Beyond Marvel and Star Wars, Disney has a deep well of shows and movies to pull from for its linear streaming channels. There's absolutely a market for a channel that shows The Simpsons 24/7. That makes a whole lot of sense. There's probably an audience out there that would love to have Boy Meets World or Scrubs on in the background as they go about their day. And of course, Disney has a large library of animated kids shows in its locker. A DuckTales channel seems like a no-brainer. Disney is trying to make Disney Plus a one-stop shop for consumers. It recently folded in Hulu, and it reportedly plans to do something similar with ESPN when the Sports Network's standalone streaming service arrives the next year, which I'm super excited about, and you probably will be too. Adding linear streaming channels to the mix could help Disney pull eyeballs away from the likes of Roku and Pluto TV as well. That said, Disney Plus wouldn't be the first subscription streaming service to go down this path. Paramount Plus added a live channels feature in 2021 to highlight some of the platform's most popular shows and movies, along with genre-based channels such as offerings for kids and reality competition fans. Others are based on hit franchises such as Paw Patrol, Star Trek. Another major streaming platform has explored different strategies too. At one point, Netflix is said to have considered offering the option to subscribe to and watch other streaming services from within its app, much like Amazon does with Prime Video channels. The information notes that while Netflix hasn't moved forward with the plan, the company hasn't ruled it out as it tries to go to get users to spend more time in its app. So I think that's really the big deal, to have people to go in the app and just stay there and have ads, and Disney can provide their numbers to all these potential advertisers and say, hey, look, these people are spending this much time in the ad. This is how much money we're asking for, and so on. So,
yeah.
Interesting to see. I would love, of course, if you're watching us, we would all love like a Star Wars kind of section where you can just watch the original trilogy or original trilogy connected stuff. Maybe like throw in like Rogue One, or even have a linear Star Wars where they play everything in proper timeline order. That would be really cool. And you could maybe do like a marathon type thing and try and last, try and not fall asleep, because it's going to be more than 24 hours. It's probably going on 2 days now of stuff, or more than that, right? Because if you include all the animated stuff in there, it's going to be way longer. But I mean, if it's just live action, I know coming up here, we're going to have the marathon in the theater, which is about, which is so funny because the local theater, I think the theater in Plano, Texas, that's doing the marathon this May 4th, 2024, listed the runtime for the marathon between episodes 1 through 9 as 23 hours and 59 minutes. It's like, why don't you just say 24 hours? But anyways, so yeah, I mean, it's 24, just about 24 hours of watching the live action Star Wars.
Well, Santico's is having it. And I think, what was it? $120-something or what was it?
I think it was $108, but I think plus tax and everything else added onto it. Yeah, it's
but you got a free thing of popcorn and a thing of
you
drink.
Get a poster. Yeah, you get an exclusive poster, which I would love to have the poster. So if anyone is watching out there wants to send us a poster, yeah, you can do that.
So. Yeah, I mean, and I think it included the bucket though, the bucket and cup. I think if I'm not mistaken. That special cup and the special bucket, I think it included.
I think you're entitled to a popcorn and a drink. I think that's included in the purchase price, but I'm not sure if it's like a collector's.
Okay. Thing. I thought it did. Yeah. But anyway, that's too much. That's too long for me. I could not sit in those chairs for that long. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's they have recliners, but man, that'll be crazy. You know what I mean? To be there for 24 hours straight, you know.
Well, back in 2015, I did the marathon where it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then right at 7 p.m., we would get to see episode 7 for the very first time. And I couldn't do it because the marathon started at 4 a.m. So I live more than an hour away from that theater. So I had to wake up, I think, at 2 just to be able to, like, come out of my sleep and, like, take a shower, maybe eat. And then drive over there. Luckily, my buddy, he was like, I got some hotel points in that hotel across. We can maybe get a room. And if we want to sleep, we can just go sleep there and then wake up if we have to. Because at that point in time, I couldn't schedule a lot of time off. So I knew I was going to be like super sleepy. So I think what we did is we watched episode 1 and then we bailed and we went to the hotel. We slept. And I think when we woke up and got back to the theater midway through episode 4. And then we watched it all the way to the Return of the Jedi. And of course, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, you kind of know what ensued. The projector actually malfunctioned and started showing us scenes from the movie. And everyone was just like groaning. I don't know what episode it was. I mean, I haven't talked about that in a long time, but it was the worst, almost the worst case scenario for watching episode 7 for the first time. It took like 20 minutes or something for them to fix the projector, and a riot almost broke out. And yeah, everyone was like super pissed. And yeah. I had a second ticket for that same night for the IMAX showing.
Whoa.
So that bled into my IMAX showing, so I didn't get to see the crawl on IMAX.
Oh, damn.
When I finally got in, I saw BB-8 roll up to the screen. That was the first thing I saw on IMAX. And getting through all the traffic of that theater was like almost impossible, man. Because there was people going to it was at the Palladium in San Antonio. All the people going to the concession stand and trying to buy stuff for their showing, and me trying to get through, cutting through, it was like shoulder to shoulder. And if you remember, I think nearly every single ticket was purchased in America for that movie. Because yeah. I think it made the maximum amount of money. I think it made like two, was it 252 million? I think for that weekend, something like that. And the crazy thing is, I predicted that. I was telling people that movie was it's every seat's going to sell out. It's going to set the record, and it did. And a lot of people didn't believe me, but I mean, it was a juggernaut, a lot like the Phantom Menace.
Yeah,
people argue with me too about the Phantom Menace and its status, and I think the Phantom Menace was bigger than Episode 7, but I digress. What were we going to say?
Well, I mean, Episode 7, that's the thing, exactly. Like you said, it was Episode 7 with the marathon. So with it now adding the new movies to that, dude, that's like, it's crazy. That's just nuts to do. Because don't get me wrong, like even I did the marathon somewhat at home, but I didn't do it continuously. I literally, throughout the week leading up to the release, I was watching like two movies, you know, a day going up to the release, you know what I mean? But even that, I mean, because the time wise. So yeah, I can imagine how it would be to do that marathon. And don't get me wrong, I know there's a lot of people that are going to be doing it. And I would be cool. I would like to kind of document some of that. You know what I mean? It go be there, catch people doing their marathon. I think that would be pretty cool.
So May 4th, I know we have something planned, right? Are we done?
Dude, we have too much stuff.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. It's like brain overload for me. I know we want a podcast on May 4th, which I don't think we've announced yet. But yeah, of course, we want to do something special podcast-wise for May 4th. But there are several things. That's Free Comic Book Day as well, right?
No, it's actually, yes, May 4th will be that Saturday. So it's Free Comic Book Day, which is we'll be at Dragon's Lair. We got Juan Carlos, who's done some Transformer comics, and he's done some of the Topps sketch cards for Star Wars. He will be at Dragon's Lair. They're, of course, going to be free, giving away free comics. We're going to have some cosplayers there. And then that's just half the day. So we've got that. And then there's a show going on at Wonderland Mall that we're going to be covering as well, which we'll show a little bit later who the guests are going to be. And of course, the release of the movie. It's just so much stuff, dude. It's crazy. And then, of course, we'll be talking about the special edition one shot that's going to be coming out for the Phantom Menace. Dude, it's just that whole week's going to be a whirlwind.
As it should. Plus, Tales of the Empire is coming out too on May 4th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we're going to have a lot to talk about there, of course. And Bender, watching us on YouTube, says, give me a couple of monsters and I could do the marathon. Man, it's a lot, man. It's a whole lot. Essentially being awake for 24 hours.
Ugh. I think you need a couple of monsters with a chase of 5-hour energy. Just to try or that, or take a nap in between.
Yeah, the slow parts need or something. Do some like smelling salts or something.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, dude. It's gonna be fun, and that we're gonna have. I'm looking forward to it. And on top of that, of course, tickets will be going on sale for, you know, Star Wars Celebration. On top of that,
man, Star Wars Celebration,
dude. It's just gonna be nonstop, man. So
Ray, are you gonna go to Japan?
I'm hoping, because I understand you're saying, oh, you know, we got to get, you know, try to get tickets, whatever. Okay. My wife tried getting Shakira tickets, and that's how we had early access with, you know, Citi credit card, whatever, to get tickets. Even with that, when she got in right at 10 o'clock, she was 4,000 something in line to get in the queue just to try to get two tickets. And mind you, I think it's going to be the same thing here, especially with the VIP tickets. And then even trying to get the general admission tickets, I think it's going to be a madhouse. Even though it's going to be in Japan, I still think it's going to be crazy to try to get our hands on VIP tickets. I think we have a better chance of winning the lotto maybe to try to get, but so it would be great.
That is what I thought for so many years, that it's like winning the lottery to try and get these VIP tickets. And I would freely walk around and tell people at all these celebrations. This will be my seventh celebration, I think. But I would bring up the fact that no regular civilian out there can get VIP tickets for Celebration. What a VIP ticket is, in case you're listening and watching us and you don't know what a VIP ticket is, it's essentially a ticket that guarantees you entry into every single panel, plus you sit up front. So you have reserved seats to sit up front for every single panel. I know you listen to the podcast. Colin talks about the lottery system and how he's very disappointed in that. There's no lottery. You're in every panel. You're guaranteed to see every major Star Wars celebrity that's going to be there very, very close up and personal on stage. And you get experience everything. And for me, I'm a panel guy. I've been watching panels on YouTube from Comic-Con in San Diego.
Same here.
Star Wars Celebration. That's like my thing in the summertime. I couldn't... Also, when Kevin Feige did his phases, when he got up on stage and he talked about the next phase and he has a big timeline, to me, that's like the best thing, man. When they talk about the upcoming projects, what they're doing, what they're shooting, and to be there, it's a weird type of experience, because I'd done it for so many years, and then to actually be there in person. I was there in person for the very first time in 2015, and I was just telling myself, I cannot believe I'm here. Gareth Edwards is like right there. That was the one panel I just couldn't believe that I was in. And then, of course, we all know that Josh Trank, he didn't show up to it for his Boba Fett thing. But just being in that arena, being at those panels that you know that everyone's going to watch, everyone's going to be talking about, that's the main thing for me. And buying tickets for Japan and not having VIP, you're going to have to hope to win these lotteries. And that's a bummer. And for us that have a podcast, we want to have like full coverage, and we don't want to learn information secondhand. We kind of want to be there.
Yeah.
Yes, Lucasfilm is very kind to us. They do give us media badges, but the media badge isn't what you think. Media badge just gets you into the convention. And if someone who paid for their badges has priority over you, so they can knock you out of a panel, which I've never seen before and never heard of, but that's what the rules are for the media badge. Now, if you're with someone with like Entertainment Tonight or Extra, of course you're going to have a reserved seat. They have full access. We're not those people, because we're not that entity. We're just a Star Wars podcast. But that's the whole thing with VIP. We want to get VIP. And the thing is, for the past few celebrations, people on our podcast, on the Star Wars Stuff podcast, has tried to purchase these VIP badges. But when you click, as soon as they go on sale, they're out. They've sold out completely. And it's kind of weird, because it's like, how do they sell out that fast? And like I mentioned earlier, when I walked around and I've told people it's impossible for a civilian to get a VIP badge, I've had other just random fans tell me, no, it's not. They would tell me I was able to have multiple computers, laptops, phones, tablets open, and I've tried simultaneously to get in, and they got in. And once you do buy a VIP badge, you have the option to buy a VIP badge for the next celebration, and they give you a special link that you can click on and go buy the badge before the general public, which is also a reason why we want to get VIP, so we can just continue to constantly buy VIP badges. So that is the plight of the podcast, and I hope that all made sense. But yeah, we're going to be there at 7 p.m. Eastern on May 3rd or May 2nd. Is it May 2nd? I think May 1st is the VIP people. May 2nd is general public. We all get to click exactly at 7 o'clock and try and get those VIP badges. So the VIP is about $1,000, as opposed to a regular 3-day badge, which is like $160. But with that $1,000, you get guaranteed panel seating. You get some like, I think a poster and some other like merch that they got, but I don't really even care about that. I just want to be in the panels, be there, get all the info and all the breaking news straight from everyone that's there from Star Wars. And London, I only won one panel. And it was kind of strange because in 2022 in Anaheim, I just about won every single panel that I wanted to win. And I think the only one that I didn't win that was big was okay because I had bought Ewan McGregor's autograph and that was my window to go get it signed. So it worked out perfectly in 2022 in Anaheim. So
yeah, that's that a good thing about that. Yeah, see, that's the one thing about VIPs are great. Like, for example, guys, if you are good, whoever's new to the Star Wars podcast, I also work with Countdown to the Geekcast, which we do everything geek related. So we got to cover South by Southwest. That was my first year going to South by Southwest. And you get kind of the same deal where you get to see movies before they come out. Like they had The Fall Guy, they had Roadhouse, they had Three Bodies. They had all these movies and you had opportunities to go see them. And then sometimes the cast was there. They did, you know, a good panel. I got to see the first episode of season 5 in the final season for Star Trek. And that was phenomenal. The cast was there. I actually sat right behind, right in front of one of the cast members. And that was cool. But you get that access and to see all that stuff. And you get to get the photos. We got to cover red carpets, got some interviews. Countdown City Geekcast, if you don't go follow. Our boss up there got to interview Daisy Ridley to a certain extent. He got some photos with her. That was cool. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. We want to bring you the experience. If you guys watch G4 back in the day, and which would cover San Diego Comic-Con, gave us all the news of what was coming out movie-wise, exclusives to panels. Once it was gone, we lost all that access other than having to go on the internet and actually try to find it. You know, now what we try to do is give it to you. If, you know, we're on top of it too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I just put the website on the screen there. If you're watching us on video, it's countdowncitygeeks.com. Ray and I try and contribute, and we work with Ted. And, of course, the next story that I guess is appropriate probably to talk about is the fact that Diego Luna is going to show up to our backyard, back again in San Antonio. And this time it is called the Superhero Comic-Con 2024, and it's in partnership with Ace. And if you've seen panels from the previous 10 years, you've seen a lot of, especially Marvel actors, the big-time Marvel actors, will be at Ace Comic-Con in, I think, usually Seattle, and I think parts of California. And now they've teamed up, and of course, Diego Luna, this will be his first Comic-Con appearance, I believe, in North America, and he's going to be there for 2 days, and I believe it's going to be that Saturday, or that Friday and Saturday, I believe, June 21st and 22nd, and we're probably going to meet him, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect opportunity, perfect place.
Yeah, Countdown to the Geeks is going to have a booth there. Ray and I will be there. Giving out Star Wars stuff. I've purchased a lot of stuff to give out. So if you want to come down and meet Diego Luna, he's going to be in San Antonio, Texas, and you'll get to see Ray and myself at Superhero Comic-Con 2024. And we're going to talk to him. We're going to meet him. And I'm hyped. I know. There's probably going to be a panel done, and it's probably going to be by Ted or someone we know, and we're going to be able to talk to him, and it's going to be kind of like a dream come true. And going back to 2022 Anaheim, I had the fortune of talking to Anthony Bresnikan, and we did a quick interview, and he put me in Vanity Fair in an article where I talked about how it meant a lot to me to see someone from my culture lead a Star Wars project like Diego Luna has and is doing with Andor. Of course, he was in Rogue One. He was a star of that. And it meant a lot to me, and I kind of explained it in the article. And it was awesome to talk to him. I mean, there was just so much stuff happening, and he just recorded what I said. And I think he was actually, it was in the morning. It's funny because I was running, I was taking Colin's Anakin wig from my hotel room to the house he was staying at in Anaheim. Because, I mean, he was jumping from place to place. I think he had a relative over there or something. But just happenstance, I ran into him and I said, "Hey, Anthony, how's it going? Big fan." And he just started talking to me and it kind of led into like, "Hey, is it okay if I record you?" Because I told him about the podcast. It was kind of like an impromptu thing. And I told him, "Hey, look, Rogue One, it meant a lot. And it meant a lot to my culture. Both you and I, Ray, were Mexican-American and growing up with Star Wars. Star Wars is very, very Mexican-American, like very much ingrained into our families. It's an interesting thing.
Chewy,
I don't really think it matters which culture you're in, because I mean, Star Wars just kind of, it kind of permeates and it relates to just humanity. But I always found that interesting that it was kind of big in our culture. And then to grow up and find out that, it's everyone pretty much kind of loves Star Wars. So, Diego Luna's coming to San Antonio. It's going to be awesome. But the next story I wanted to talk about has something to do with this gentleman right here, Hayden Christensen. There was an interesting rumor that was sparked online many months ago that he was going to be the voice of a character in the next Sonic film, which was Shadow. And I had no idea where this rumor came from, but it was ubiquitous. It was everywhere. Everyone was talking about it. Oh, Hayden might be the voice of Shadow. And it's like, okay, well, that's kind of odd. But at that time, Hayden was in the news a lot. We'd heard rumblings that maybe Hayden was maybe going to do something else with Lucasfilm other than what he did with Obi-Wan. I'm still banking on the fact that he's going to do a Vader show, a live action Vader show. And maybe that be kind of the spiritual sequel to the Obi-Wan show, and it continue on that timeline, and we get to see him as Vader and maybe get to see some Obi-Wan stuff too, and training with Qui-Gon and all that stuff. But we learned, I think last week, that Hayden is not voicing Shadow. CinemaCon happened last week in Vegas, and a lot of people were expecting that Hayden Christensen was going to be there when they did their Sonic presentation. And I think, what studio is it, Ray? Is it Paramount?
Yeah.
When Paramount did their presentation, they thought maybe they're going to roll Hayden Christensen on stage. They didn't. They didn't really talk about who was going to be the voice, but of course they already knew who was going to be the voice, and the voice of Shadow was actually going to be someone that we all know very well, and someone else that's rumored to be playing a Star Wars role, a big time Star Wars role, and possibly the Acolyte or something else, which is Keanu Reeves. So he's going to be the voice of Shadow. Keanu Reeves is kind of everywhere now. I think he's also going to be in the John Wick spinoff as well. But of course, the major thought slash rumor online is maybe he's going to appear as Revan. And that's another kind of rumor, like the whole Shadow thing. I don't think there's really a lot to go on. Some people have claimed that he has come in to shoot something for Lucasfilm or maybe some type of Disney property, and they maybe jump to that conclusion. Oh, he's doing something Star Wars. Maybe he is Revan. But that would be really cool, man, if that came to light. And there's precedence for this, because Rosario Dawson was fan casted. I think Rosario Dawson, she talks about it so much that Boss Logic put her in a piece of art and kind of had her as Ahsoka Tano, and it caught wildfire, and people thought, oh yeah, that would work. And then she was fan casted essentially. It can happen here too. Keanu's a real good guy. He would be great, I think, in the Star Wars family. What do you think about that, Ray?
No, I would love to see him. I mean, I love his acting. The Matrix, you know, John Wick, Bill and Ted. I mean, and the funny thing is people used to make fun of him because the way he acted back in the day. You know what I mean? Like when he did Bill and Ted. What was the other one? Speed. Just because of the certain way he did present himself. But he's a great actor, especially when it comes to the stuff he does, like the fight scenes, the training he does for this stuff. So like for the Matrix, for, you know, John Wick, even with the training with the guns, I mean, I can picture him. I could literally picture him like playing that role. You know what I mean? I would love just to see him just, I mean, I'm just kind of geeking out right here, but him turning the lightsaber on this, and then you just see the red and then it pans to him. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think?
It would be awesome to get a prologue because Revan happened, I think, way before the Acolyte and the events of what we're going to see. And having kind of a Fellowship of the Ring prologue to that and for Lucasfilm to drop a lot of money on that would be incredible. Probably not going to do it. Probably Keanu Reeves is probably not going to be Revan, but it's interesting that so many people have kind of jumped on that and want to see that. It would be incredible. And a lot of fans have all these ideas and Disney has the capability to execute on them. And
oh yeah.
Sometimes I think it's like, just listen to the fans. I mean, I've always talked about someone having a role at Lucasfilm that has kind of their finger on the pulse of fandom and knowing exactly what the fans want to see. I think that would be an interesting job to have, almost like a reporter in a way. And it's just like, give us what we want. You can do what we want. Just give us what we want. It's that type of thing. But I know there's a whole roadmap and a timeline that they want to do. And I mean, it's just kind of like a wait and see if the next regime will do that. And it's going to be interesting once the next regime kind of rolls in and whoever is the president and is in charge, what they're going to do.
So question
feels like it's a very advantageous role and spot that they'll have. What's your question?
So the question is, so with the comic that's coming out in July and with the writer that we're going to be interviewing for this comic, I don't know, it's just me hoping. What if with that comic, it's giving us a prologue or a possibility of, because think about it. There's things that are left unsaid. Yes, we got the Inquisitors in Rebels, and we got them in Obi-Wan, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we don't have how Vader got them together and built this team. Mind you, this comic that we're going to be getting that's going to be coming out in July, I want to know how much of that are we going to get? Like, are we going to get how Vader created this team of Inquisitors? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what if this is a tease, like showing, okay, this is like kind of like the Vader's lost missions in the comics. What if it's kind of taking from that and maybe we will get a live action and seeing Vader and the Inquisitors hunting down the Jedi? And like you're saying, maybe he comes back and he does that role. You know what I mean?
For me personally, that's kind of the dream for a live action of Vader show where we can see all that stuff pan out. Are we going to see it? I don't know. I don't know what the negotiation process is. I know Hayden, it seems like he is kind of staunch on negotiations because I don't think a lot of people talked about it, but back in 2022 Anaheim, I know I've mentioned that celebration a lot, but he did not sign or do autographs. He did not autograph or take photos with people, but he was there. And we were all kind of confused why he wasn't doing that. And apparently, I think it got out that they didn't meet his number. So he just said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he was going from booth to booth and like showing up randomly. And you would hear like loud applause and stuff. But in 2023, he did. And I think I'm wearing the shirt actually right now. 2023, actually.
Nice.
And yeah, Colin and I got a picture with him and Ewan and R2, because famously Ewan McGregor was shooting that show that he just did for, I think, Paramount Plus, where he's like a Russian.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he's with his wife. What's his wife's name?
I forgot her name off the top of my head, but I know what you're talking about. I just saw some clips about when they were on Jimmy Kimmel.
But
I forgot her name. But yeah, they were talking about their little kid, how their kid's a big Yoda, baby Yoda fan, a Grogu fan.
Yeah. What kid isn't? I haven't seen a kid. Yeah. That creature, Jon Favreau hit the nail right on the head with that. But yeah, so Hayden is not the voice of Shadow. Sum it up. It's going to be Keanu Reeves. And hopefully Keanu Reeves has something to do with Star Wars in the near future here. And yeah, Acolyte's gonna drop, I believe, June 4th. And we are going to cover it extensively on the Star Stuff podcast. Kind of like what we did with Ahsoka. I want to do a pre-show and a post-show. Talk about thoughts. Everyone can come here and comment. And we can talk about everyone's ideas, what they thought, their theories, what's going to happen in the future, what they think is going to happen. So look out for those. And the next story, if you're reading our title here, the blue milk is available. And it's kind of funny because in our personal chat with everyone on the podcast, Zach and Colin have been going back and forth nonstop about this blue milk. And if you're not familiar with the blue milk that just got released, that's Lucasfilm approved, this is what it looks like right here. It's from Trumu, and it has Luke and Vader on the cover. And of course, it's actual milk, unlike what you get at Galaxy's Edge, which is more like a slurpy, slushy fruit consistency type thing. Which I like the green milk more than the blue milk. I wish I liked the blue milk more than the green milk, because of course I'm an OT guy. But yeah, this is what you can buy right now at stores. I guess you go to your local grocery store. It is out. Colin actually bought some today. I think Zach beat him to the punch though.
Yeah, he did.
Zach found it. They're all up in Michigan cruising around for blue milk.
Detroit.
Not Detroit, but I think the Grand Rapids area.
I'm just pointing at my hat.
So this is the post that Colin made on Instagram, and I'll show you the picture here. He says, "Dreams do come true. I went to 5 locations yesterday and didn't find any." And yeah, he has, I guess, that's like a quart of blue milk. And yeah, there's Colin's personal handle, Blue Harvest, also. It's on my cap. And yeah, he found it and he gave it a rating. He said 7 out of 10, nothing like the Galaxy's Edge blue milk, like I just said. But if you freeze it, it definitely makes it better. Might have to add some ingredients to have a similar taste to Galaxy's Edge. So there you go.
Nice.
7 out of 10 is not bad. But do you even drink milk, Ray?
Only when I eat it with only when I have my Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
You know, I think maybe, I want to say like 6 years ago, I ate some cereal with milk and I felt weird afterwards. I know this is getting personal, but the milk did something to me, man. I don't think I'm lactose intolerant, but anytime I drink milk or have milk with anything, my body just feels weird. And
your body goes into shock.
It doesn't go into shock. I just feel like, almost like jittery, like almost if you would drink like too many like energy drinks or something. I just feel weird. But see, we're mammals, Ray. Mammals aren't supposed to drink milk when they're adults. So that goes against the natural science there.
Yeah, but then did I say milk does body good?
That was a whole ad campaign that was lying to everyone. That's not true.
Yeah, that back was in the from day. The
Got Milk people. Yeah, it's not true. That's been debunked by someone. I don't know.
That's too funny. Yeah. But so, what do you got here?
Bender says on YouTube, I really hope it's going to be in my town. I don't know if he's referring to the milk or the marathon, but I think the milk is actually everywhere. So if you really want Star Wars blue milk, you can go check it out. Here's another picture of it. Trumu blue milk at your local grocery store.
I wonder if people are going to start like stocking up on this and then flipping it like they do the toys. That'd be too funny. People be in the parking lot selling milk to people. That'd be too funny, man.
Milk dealers, yeah.
Or even at the convention, they got an ice chest and they got blue milk in there. You want some blue milk? Oh, man. That's too funny. Well, I mean, it's the scalpers, they buy stuff and they flip. You know what I mean? And you know they're doing it with the Funko Pops that are going to be coming out, that are going to be dropping pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. So the next big story, topic really that I want to talk about is the Bad Batch Season 3. The very last season of The Bad Batch, confirmed by Lucasfilm. I did not start watching it until a couple weeks ago. And I'm fully caught up with the story. I don't want to say I didn't have the motivation to watch it. I kind of wanted to do the binge thing and just watch it. I know we have a terrific team on the podcast that chronicles every episode, and you can go on our archive and listen to all those podcasts where we have all those people, Colin, Capstar, Christian, Hunter, Josh, that go in depth because they're Clone Wars experts and they're animation people. And if you haven't listened to those, check those out. But I really haven't given my thoughts on The Bad Batch Season 3.
Yeah, either have I.
I like it. I like it more so that it seems like they're not afraid to go darker than what we've maybe seen before. And I want to say when they did that 2-episode release in that point in time a couple weeks ago, they did it because I think if they would have released that 1 episode, it would have been too dark. It ended like very, very somber, you know, and I think they didn't want to do that. And that's why maybe they released 2 episodes. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've liked the trajectory, but the trajectory is, of course, we want to look ahead and wonder what's going to happen in the future. And
yeah,
if we think about these characters, we don't see them in anything in the future. So it's kind of like, is it going to be like Rogue One, where just does everyone just die?
Oh, dude.
And we all know this is animation, and Omega is a small girl. How are they going to end this? I mean, what do you think? What, everyone in chat right now, how do you think Bad Batch will end? What are your thoughts? What are your theories?
Well, okay. There's a lot of questions that they're leaving open. So like, okay, when Brandon Rao bought back Ventress, we mm-hmm. got the little cameo, but nothing really more came out of that. So what was the reasoning for bringing her back? Are we bringing her back because we're going to see her in later episodes saying, okay, she's still alive, but we're going to see her later, possibly, maybe live action, maybe, you know what I mean? Or because, just like you asked, there's questions being left open. If they don't kill Omega off, where has she been this whole time? Has she been in hiding? Has she? I mean, there's so many questions that it leaves open. Same thing with Ventress. How do we know that Ventress hasn't survived from here to current time? So there's that gap right there. Because at one point, everybody thought she is dead. So there's so many questions that it's leaving open. If you analyze it like I analyze stuff, it just like I see certain things, I'm like, man, okay, we know Wolf comes back in Rebels, you know, we know this. So, but it leaves little questions there. But I don't know. What do you think?
It's a big galaxy, Ray. They could have ended up in a different galaxy, because we all know there's other galaxies out there. It's confirmed through Ahsoka. but we already knew. We should have already kind of known. I know a lot of people kind of got bent out of shape that there's other galaxies out there, but it was really kind of confirmed in Attack of the Clones when you saw the maps and stuff. But
yeah,
I'm really interested to see how they kind of tie up the series. I mean, they could do another thing where they introduce a brand new show, which is not called The Bad Batch, and they kind of pull one over on us, and it's called something else. Maybe something like with Omega's name in the title.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it would be kind of dark, really dark, if our main characters bite it. And I know there's all those theories out there that maybe Tech is still alive. And
I think he's still alive. I think we may see him in the season finale in some form or before. But that's just my opinion.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Rex is, yeah, that's true. I would love to see that, you know, because we know he's been around this whole time frame between Rebels, you know what I mean, up to Rebels. So, you know, there's that possibility, which I would love to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of places they could go. I feel like there's going to be another animated show that's going to take place. And
I think so.
Because continuation.
Yeah, I think they are, because they want, you think about it, they want to get the younger kids involved with it. At the same time, give it something that the family, you can watch as a family, you know, as an adult and kids watch together. If, of course, this is not Star Wars, but the Transformers 1 trailer dropped
yesterday.
People are dogging it left and right. Like, people are like, oh, just bring back the original voice, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like I told, one of the comments I posted on one of the things was, okay, back in the day when we were 9, 10 years old and watching Transformers and buying the toys, I didn't know who voice actors were. I just watched the cartoon and I loved the cartoon, loved the toys. I didn't know who Peter Cullen was until I was in my late 20s. You know what I mean? I didn't even know Mark Hamill played the Joker until I was like 25 years old. So, you know what I mean? I really didn't know voice actors until late 20s, but we loved it. And I think, like I told it in the comment, was they're catering it to the younger kids to get the younger kids involved, to get toys to get sold for the younger kids. Yes, we would love to have it cater to us as adults, but you got to factor in the younger generation and take that into consideration. Not everybody's going to be happy. And it's the same thing with here, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with Star Wars, but they're still got to cater to the kids. But at the same time, us adults want to get satisfied to an extent on it as well. But I don't know, that's my thoughts on that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how it's going to end. And it's going to end a few days before May 4th. I think it's 3 days. And then on May 4th, of course, we're going to get Tales of the Empire. So, and I was thinking that maybe they're going to drop Tales of the Empire that quickly, because maybe the Bad Batch ends kind of in a very dark way. and maybe have Tales of the Empire be like a palate cleanser in a way. I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, you think back, yeah, this show is directed more towards kids. And I don't see them going with the Rogue One ending. But it's, yes,
hey,
where were these characters at? But then again, it is a big galaxy. They could have gone to a different galaxy. They could have done, I don't know, probably a multitude of things that we're not even thinking about right now. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. Like I said, Ventress is life.
I really like what they did with Ventress. She had a very good disposition, and the way that she interacted with Omega, the training.
Yes.
I really like the character.
She was holding back to an extent. Like, I feel that she didn't tell Omega the full truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think she was holding back, but that's just how I took it.
Yeah, I really liked how they represented her to us, and very much on that grayscale. I know people don't people want to argue about that. There's no such thing as a gray Jedi, of course. Yeah, we know that. But she was not She was very much like a bounty hunter. Like, she was kind of like for hire, and she did what she thought was right. And her actions in that episode, or that her last episode, it felt like that was someone with a soul.
Yes. And like, she's grown through everything that she's went through, through right. with, you know, them trying to kill her and all that with the Sith and stuff like that. So I think she's kind of, I think she's like Ahsoka to a certain extent. To be honest with you, I think she's like Ahsoka, where she's like, she's not on the Sith side, but she's not a on the Jedi side either, but she's kind of right in that middle area.
Well, I think Ahsoka is a whole lot more softer and a whole lot
more leaning
to the light. But I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, Asajj Ventress bringing her back. I know a lot of fans got mad about that because it was alluded to in the Dark Disciple novel that she did pass on.
Yes.
And I don't think we've gotten that explanation of how she's back. We're all kind of guessing that it has to do with like her connection to the witches and dark magic or whatever, maybe resurrected her, or she never really died or whatever. So there's that. But I do like that character more now.
Yes.
Bender on YouTube asks, what happened to Skeleton Crew? Skeleton Crew is moved back all the way to, I think, this fall winter season, which I don't think we have a very good explanation on why they did that, but I do have a lot of confidence in it. I got to see the trailer in London. It looked fantastic. It looked like it was done. It was completed. But of course, with the strikes, everything got pushed back, and we were all kind of shocked that we're getting Acolyte before Skeleton Crew, because we were supposed to get Skeleton Crew that winter, and they pushed it back a year. So I don't know if it's story, if they want to do more reshoots, or what exactly was the case. I don't have any insight into that, and I haven't heard anything. So should be coming, though. Coming this year.
Yep. What, you want to talk about the upcoming Inquisitor series?
Sure, we can talk about that.
So we got a new comic coming out, guys, and David will pull it up. It was on StarWars.com. And yes, if you want to read out what they've got for us, David.
Yes, on StarWars.com, the article is entitled The Hunt for Jedi is On in Marvel's Star Wars Inquisitors Exclusive Reveal. And this was published on April 16th, 2024. The Jedi cannot help who they are. Their compassion leaves a trail. The Grand Inquisitor's words and Obi-Wan Kenobi form the cold heart of Marvel's upcoming Star Wars Inquisitors, which StarWars.com is excited to reveal, a new miniseries kicking off July 3rd from writer Rodney Barnes and artist Ramon Brasañas. Inquisitors follows the Empire's Jedi hunters as they narrow in on a new target, Tenzu Run, a survivor of Order 66 looking to spread hope and rebuild the Jedi Order. He has won the attention of Darth Vader, who is determined to have Tenzu killed at any cost. Check out Nick Bradshaw's cover for issue number one, which is on the screen right now if you're watching us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, along with variants by Alex Maleev and the legendary Walt Simonson, which is a name you've probably heard before, in the gallery below. So this is on StarWars.com. And this says, it's such an honor to be writing the very first Inquisitor solo story, Barnes tells StarWars.com. I love this time period of Star Wars lore because it's the one I grew up on, when Darth Vader and the Empire were imposing their will on the entire galaxy. Plus, I got to create an all-new legendary Jedi with Tenzu Run. Brand new Jedi. Truly the best of times. Inquisitors, first introduced in Star Wars Rebels, have become a key component of Star Wars storytelling. In the period between the prequel and original trilogies, trained by Darth Vader, these Force wielders track and destroy Jedi across the galaxy in the name of the Empire, and have appeared in series, video games, and beyond. See you at your local comic shop when a new hunt begins in July.
Yeah, so the cool news, guys, that we have to announce is we'll be interviewing the writer for the series, getting to talk to him. If you don't know who he is, he's written for like Everybody Loves Chris. If you watch the Laker show on HBO, the miniseries, he also wrote on that series. Look him up. He's written a lot of, he's been part of a lot of great shows, you know, TV stuff. It's going to be great. Check it out. We'll be dropping that interview pretty soon once we get that interview knocked out. But that's not the only one we got. We got another one that we're going to be doing too. And it ties to what this person is talking about here.
So Noah Richard on YouTube asks, have you folks heard of they're releasing any Funkos for Phantom's 25th anniversary? Well, Noah, you're in luck because that is our next story. They will be releasing tons of Funkos. As you can see on the screen here, Jar Jar Binks, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Maul, and Queen Amidala. Also, we have these as well. We have Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker, pod racing pilot there. We have the Queen in her double disguise. Also, there's Watto and a battle droid there.
I want that one.
And you can see some of the packaging here with Jar Jar with the slingshot, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Queen Amidala, and Darth Maul.
Those will be Target exclusives.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, I do and I don't like Funko Pops because I think the main reason is because, I don't know, it's the expense, but also I don't have a lot of room for stuff. If you look behind me, I got a lot of Star Wars stuff, and behind some of the stuff in front of the cubes you see behind me, there's Funko Pops behind those items. So I have a lot of Funko Pops and it's like, stop buying them. But they always end up in my possession somehow, some way. I think either through like birthdays or Christmas or whatever from my family, or through some kind of add-on or whatever that I buy. And you can see there that they have a Darth Maul on his...
I'm on thinking his, those are going to be GameStop exclusive, possibly, I think. Because those are a little bit, it looks like those will probably be a little bit bigger packagings than the standard.
Yeah, when they're on vehicles, yeah, usually it's usually either a Target or GameStop exclusive. But yeah, are these all the pops that they're releasing, or there's?
Yeah, those are the ones for the 20th, okay. For the anniversary.
Because yeah, it looks nothing like the whole marketing blitz that we got on Mountain Dew cans, where like every single character that appears on screens is on a soda can. But
yeah, I want the Roger one because that character was so funny in the series, and that's the one I kind of want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when I first saw the design of the battle droids, man, I instantly fell in love, and I bought that first action figure that they released, the very first action figure for the Phantom Menace on the, I believe it's, I don't know, help me out in chat. What was the name of the actual thing he was on? It wasn't a swoop bike, but I can't remember anymore.
It's kind of like the same vehicle. No, it wasn't. I know what you're talking about. It was the one that he had. It was like a gunner little ship that he drove.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that they're coming out. They're also going to be doing a one-shot for the 25th anniversary as well.
Speeder bike.
Oh, is that the title?
Well, actually, a lot of stuff just popped up. I'm trying to look. Yeah, a lot of them are on sale on, it looks like eBay here. Droid speeder bike. That's what it says. That doesn't sound right to me, but
this is probably for the toys.
Stap. It says Stap. That sounds familiar. 1998, Kenner Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, Stap, and Battle Droid, complete loose.
Well, getting back to a 25th anniversary stuff that we're getting, they're also doing a one-shot, guys, for this, the Phantom Menace series. They're doing a one-shot that's going to be available in your comic book stores. And cool news on this one, we are going to be interviewing the artist that's doing the interior artwork, which is William. Get the name. Seeley. So we're going to be interviewing him. We're going to talk to him about, he's also done other Star Wars comics, interior artwork, covers. So we get to talk to him about how it was being, how is it being able to get chosen to do this exclusive for the anniversary. This cover is awesome. There's also another cover done by Phil Noto. But yeah, we're going to be interviewing him too. That's going to be fun for you guys. If you have any questions, shoot it to us. We could ask him if you want. Either email us, and we can just, you know, add it to our list of questions we can ask during the interview. I'm going to try to do this one possibly live. And if it is, it'll probably be Sunday at 3 o'clock if he agrees to go live. So if it is, just keep an eye out.
Awesome. Yeah. And thanks to Dragon's Lair, they're giving us all of our comics, all of our physical comics to read. And there are a ton. So
yes, a lot of cool stuff coming out. I feel we're going to be getting more dropping as it's getting closer towards the summer. So keep a lookout, man.
Yeah. So did you have another story you wanted to talk about, Ray?
So there's two more things.
Okay.
We got our milk. And then they're doing a hot sauce for for Star Wars. And I think I sent you the information, didn't I, David? I think I sent it on text. Yeah, so it's supposedly the hottest hot sauce in showcase is what it says, right? Let's see. Did you find it?
Yeah, let me see here. I have my other laptop open here, but I can probably read it off my phone. So this says, meet Star Wars Dark Side Hot Sauce by Truff, an official collaboration with Lucasfilm. This marks Truff's hottest hot sauce to date, showcasing a rich symphony of flavors that surpasses anything the brand has crafted before. The pinnacle of Truff's heat experience is reached with a unique blend, intertwining the fiery essence of ghost peppers with the rich notes of black winter truffles. Interesting. Just as the heroic Anakin Skywalker was transformed by the fires of Mustafar into the menacing Darth Vader, the new spicy blend will immerse you in a fiery symphony of flavor, revealing layers of complexity and intensity that will prove to be impossible to resist. As you open the bottle, an aromatic explosion inspired by the lingering aura of the Sith fills the air and invites you to embrace the dark side. Available to order on April 24th at 9 p.m. Pacific. Sign up for the waitlist at IGN.com/Truff. Interesting. Are you a fan of hot stuff, Ray? Because I'm not.
Okay, so yes, I do love my hot sauce.
I'm missing that gene. Because once I eat something hot, it like destroys my mouth, and then everything else I eat, it's like it destroys that too. And it's like, what's the point of even eating if I can't even taste anything anymore?
Well, there's a certain thing. Okay, it's a certain thing that you get on your taste buds, on your tongue, when you get that just right type of hot sauce, where it opens up your pores on your tongue to where it becomes sensitive to certain things. So like if you eat some more, it just like burns more. Which is okay. It's weird. Okay. There's different types of chilies. If you ever had Thai chili, that's a hot. I love sriracha. I put sriracha pretty much on everything I eat. And I did this tame, though. But that's just for my just regular food. That's not counting what I put on, of course, our Mexican food that we eat. Now that's more hotter when you have the green chili. But yes, I love hot sauce. I'm kind of curious on this one because I want to see, since it has ghost peppers.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's friggin' ghost peppers in it. That's a little extreme there, man.
Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind trying it. I don't know. I'm gonna see how much it costs, but I think it'd be pretty cool, especially since it has a Darth Vader head on it. Which is kind of funny. Well, thanks, we're glad, man. We try. Yeah, we try. We try to get all the cool stuff.
Yeah, Bender says on YouTube they had the perfect opportunity to call it Mustafar Lava. Yeah, they did though.
So. But we're not done. There's one more thing. So San Antonio on May the 4th. Remember, I told you it's gonna be a busy week for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if David's gonna be able to have off that that weekend for this day, because I'm gonna be at Dragon's Lair for half the day, and then from there, I am going to be going to this event here. May the 4th be with you. SA Town Pop Culture Show. They're putting this on. We're going to be having Wedge and Tilly's there. Of course, our mascot, Max Rebo, is going to be there, the character. And then we're going to also have Chris Parsons, who played these characters in the series of the movies. So if you're in San Antonio, don't miss out. Come out. There's no cost to get in. It's actually being held in a mall. All you're paying for is just the autographs that you want to get. Cool thing is, we're partnering up with these guys. They're going to be giving us stuff to give away. So as you watch our shows, once we get what we're going to be able to give away, and you are in San Antonio, listen to us and get your chance to win, you know, either a meet and greet with somebody, maybe a photo op. So just follow us and don't miss out on this opportunity, man.
And guys, it's Max Rebo. Max Rebo, we talk about him all the time. And yes, Max Rebo, Simon Williamson himself, is going to be live and in person in front of us. Hopefully we get an interview with them. Simon Williamson signed stuff to give out on the podcast. I think that'd be really cool. And yeah, the voice actor for Wedge and Tilly's, like Ray just said, and also Chris Parsons, who's pretty prolific. Forlom from The Empire Strikes Back, that's pretty huge. So yeah, hopefully everything works out here, and we'll have some cool stuff to give away if you watch us on YouTube, Twitter, X.
And maybe I can get this signed, and maybe we can give this away as a prize. I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens.
That would be fantastic. I think Colin is going to try and enter in the giveaway and try and win that. So,
dude, yeah. I wouldn't see how he would not fly up here just to come to see Max Rebo. You know what I mean? I mean, they're flying him in from the UK.
Yeah. I don't know. Colin's going to be flying in for SpaceCon already, so he's got that trip booked.
Yeah. But
one last thing I did want to mention in regards to Japan. We did contract our friend of the podcast, who, if you want to go on Patreon, you can see an interview that we did with him, Chris Owen. He's an officially licensed Lucasfilm artist who has done a lot of Topps trading card stuff. He is going to be designing our merch. So if you are a member of Patreon, one of your perks includes you get all of our merch that we create. So we're planning on doing coins, pins, possibly patches, possibly buttons, but all the merch we create, if you're on that certain tier level on Patreon, you will receive it. I'll contact you to make sure that I have the proper shipping address and send it out to you before we go to Japan. And that's just one of the perks of Patreon that you pay for. So be on the lookout for that. I will be contacting people in the next few months just to verify. And I think that is it. And on behalf of Ray, my name is David, and may the force be with you.
Always.